We'd like to welcome those of you who join us tonight for our Sunday evening Bible study dealing with Worthy is the Lamb at Vine Grove Baptist Church. I hope you join the worship with us in spirit and in truth. Tonight, we're going to be looking at Revelation chapter 12, but we are not going past four verses. Those four verses, folks, have got about 18 hours of study in them. So we're not going past those four verses. If I get too far off on a rabbit, Gene, you make sure you wrap your finger there and straighten me out with it, please. What we're going to look at tonight is something that's very important to each one of us. Now, in Revelation 12, you'll hear me say a lot that it's passed over in a lot of Bible studies, or it's just alluded to as you go through. And the reason is a lot, you don't want to deal with it. They don't want to deal with the heavens. We don't want to deal with, is Satan able to come into heaven still and to bring an accusation against us, or is Satan not able to do that? You will listen to many that will say, well, evidently he is in heaven. Tonight, I hope to answer that question for you as we look at chapter 12 and as we pay attention to the background of this chapter. First of all, we're dealing in verses 1 and 2, the radiant woman and her children, or her child, as you will see here. 12 verse 1 and 2. A great and wondrous sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant and cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. Okay, let's break it down. Brother Randy, before I break it down, you lead us in word of prayer.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we're able to gather together once again in your house and to hear your word proclaimed. Father, open our ears, hearts, and minds to the truth of your word tonight. And Father, may there be an anointing by the Holy Spirit in power and wisdom upon Brother Larry as he explains your word. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. The woman. And we're talking about the woman being with child. You'll find out that the child is Christ, but the woman, who does the woman represent here? Does the woman represent Mary? Well, we're dealing here in apocalyptic writing. We're focusing on the end of the age, the end time here. So in order for us to better understand, I want you to see that when God is giving us his message, his focus has always been on the church, on his body, the Jewish nation, the church. We are, well, let's read it. Let me share it with you this way. The woman representation number one is the Old Testament Israel. The woman represents the Old Testament Israel. In the Old Testament, God referred to his people as a woman whom he had dressed in honor and splendor. That's Ezekiel 16. The garland with 12 stars may very well be symbolic of the 12 tribes of Israel, Genesis 37, 9, and 10. Now, representation number two, and I'll go back on these if we need to do. The New Testament church. So we have two representations here. One of the Old Testament Israel, of which was born the New Testament church, okay? The New Testament church is symbolic of is symbolized as a woman, and its members are linked to virgins, Matthew 25, 1 through 13, Revelation 14, 4, Revelation 19, 7. I didn't put all the scripture on for you, just the references, because we can't teach that for 16 hours. The New Testament church is called the Israel of God. Now, did you know that? You'll see that in Galatians 6:16. The New Testament church is called the Israel of God. See the tie-in to the Old Testament Israel? And it linked to Jerusalem above. What you would see in the temple on earth was representative of the true temple of God in heaven. What's here on earth is just a mock-up, a representation of what we will see in heaven. And we can now, why? Because you and I can only see with our human eyes here on earth. We cannot imagine the greatness of the real Jerusalem coming down from heaven. We can't imagine that because we still have our human eyes, human brain. New Jerusalem above, which is called the mother of us all. That's in Galatians 4:26. As also see Hebrews 12:22-23. Members of the church are described as a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His, God's own special people. 1 Peter 2, verse 9. Now, so the woman represents God's people, all right? But represents God's people of the saved of all the universe, the saved of Old Testament and New Testament. Salvation is of Christ only. Those saved during the Old Testament era were those who believed in the Christ to come. Those saved in the New Testament era, those who believe the Christ has come and believing in His return again. The King is coming. When Christ returns to earth, He is going to marry the church. Now remember this in heaven. In heaven, there is neither male nor female. There's no such thing as the sex variant in heaven. There's no male nor female. We are in a glorified body as Christ was in when He was resurrected from the dead. We are a spiritual being. Right now, each one of us are spiritual beings. We are a spirit that has a body. We are not a body that has a spirit. Our spirit without the body without the spirit is dead. Okay, so we are a spirit that is given this spaceship Earth suit to walk around in while on planet Earth. And therefore, we are limited in what we can understand about what God has in store for us in the universe. Because we're trapped in this bodysuit called the human framework, the human being. Now, He is going to marry the church, which is called His wife. The church is the bride of Christ. We remember that, right? It's always referred to as the bride of Christ in Revelation 19:7. Based on these passages, it is clear that the woman in Revelation 12 represents God's people. All God's people, okay? Now, notice this. From the beginning of the trials and tribulation with the woman of Revelation 12, from the very beginning, God has protected the woman. No harm could come to her. Nothing could overshadow her. Do you remember when Christ was born and the angel comes and says, take the child and go because Herod is looking for to kill the child. You escape and you go to Egypt and I'll tell you when to come back. Now, why? Why are we going through all that? I don't have any idea. But it is God's plan, and each step must be carried and followed through. Satan thought that he had defeated God, defeated Christ, you know, at the cross. That lets us know something very important. God is omniscient. God is all-knowing, okay? Satan isn't. Satan has limitations. God does not have limitations. We have limitations for right now, but soon we won't have. So God is giving us the story of life itself and the importance of the church family, us united together representing Him. Incidentally, while I was doing this, you can tell that I'm writing down what I'm thinking when I do it. Well, incidentally, it is also interesting to note that the imagery of a dishonorable woman, one called a great harlot, is used in Revelation 17:1 to depict a false church that deceives many. So, the bride of Christ is the church. Within the church, you will have the real church. But also within the church, the Lord tells us that the weeds are going to grow with the wheat. And when the farmer says, well, shall we go pluck up the wheat? No. If you do that, you're going to destroy the innocent wheat. You'll pull them up. Let them grow together. And then what does he say? I'll take care of it at the end. I'll take care of it at the end. I will do the separating when it comes time for the harvest. That's why you and I don't get involved with that. Now, you can fuss and you can argue, you can do all of this, but what you should never, ever do is say that person is going to hell. You have no authority to ever say that to anybody. So, I can proclaim God's word. The scripture tells me that whoever does not call on the name of the Lord will not see heaven. I can quote God, but I can't on myself judge an individual as to whether I can judge what they're doing right or wrong, but not whether they're going to hell or not. Because, let me give you this one, because I don't know what their final breath was. I don't know if at that final breath of air they said, I believe. You mean that that person's going to the same heaven we are? Yep. And you ought to be happy about that. You ought to be tickled to death about that. Absolutely. That person that cries out, I believe, and they've lived a life of hell, is going to be in the same heaven you are.
They'll be changed.
They will be changed. Yes. Okay. The false church of the tribulation, Revelation 17, 1 and 2. I'm just bringing this in to back up what I just said. One of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and said to me, come, I will show you the punishment of the great prostitute who sits on many waters. With her, the kings of the earth commit adultery, and the inhabitants of the earth were intoxicated with the wine of her adulteries. Do you know what that is? Idolatry. It's the idolatry of the world. It's the churches that were set up to worship anything, anyone other than Christ. To worship a good time. To worship a good party. To worship, you know, oh, we're all just going to be kind to each other and we're going to do this, but we don't need Jesus to do it. That's a false church. That's a false church. And so that's called idolatry. When you fall in love with anything of the world and you exclude Christ, that's idolatry. And is that happening today? Sure. But it's been going on ever since the beginning of time. Idolatry has. Okay. The enormous red dragon is Satan. Here's where the big push and pull is for us. Satan's authority over the human race. Satan's authority in heaven. Well, for one thing, I can tell you, Satan has no authority over God's authority. Well, I'll get into the heavens here in a second, but let's look at this. Revelation 12, 3 and 4. Then another sign appeared in heaven. An enormous red dragon, that's Lucifer, that's the devil, that's Satan, with seven heads, 10 horns, 7 crowns on his heads. I could break all that down, but I don't see any need of it. That means the power and authority to do all the bad things from on earth. Okay. Verse 4. His tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky. The stars will represent angels. The fallen angels. That's what a third of the stars are. Satan brings out of heaven with him a third of the angels that chose to follow him. They were not tricked. They made a willful choice. They were not, they knew exactly what they were doing. They chose to follow Satan. Do we not have free will? Is that not what we call free will? We have free will to choose Satan or to choose Christ. We have that free will. At this period of time, these angels are given this free will. Do they still? I don't know. I've never met an angel. Well, except for you all, of course. But, I mean, I have never, ever, ever met an angel to know how their free will is. I know that me now, as a human being, I have a limited free will. When I said yes to Jesus Christ, I had the free will 100% to choose him or to choose Satan, right? But once I chose him, then I became, Paul called it, a slave to Christ. So Christ will only let me go so far into going off into the world of whoring. He's only going to let me go so far, and then he's going to bring me back in. Or he will take me out. He will take me out to protect me from the time to come or other people from me. But God is in control that way. So I do not have the free will to pull myself out of the hands of Christ. Don't have that. Once I have been given to him freely, I am his. All right. Verse 4 represents Satan's original fall, not his final casting out, as will be witnessed in verses 7 and 9. Okay, verse 4. Now, again, you got to remember something. We're jumping thousands of years here, folks, even to the point of this. This occurred early in God's created order, prior to the temptation of Eve in the Garden of Eden. This casting out, this is where Satan fell. This original fall of Satan happened before the Garden of Eden. See, you and I can't judge time in the spiritual realm. We just can't. And everybody wants it, well, that was 7,000 years ago, wasn't it? And I look and I think, oh my word, folks. I can give you back 7,000 years of history, printed history that we may have. But there was history before history. Do we know that? Yeah. Do you know that there were books out there? I like this guy I was talking the other day, and his argument was, well, it couldn't have went that way because they didn't even know how to write in those days. And I'm thinking, you ain't that old, dude. You're not that old.
They drew symbols on the wall.
Yeah. Yeah, but they couldn't even relate. How do you know what they could do? How do we know how far back time goes? Time is nothing to God. Okay, so here we are. We're seeing the original fall of Satan. And Satan is kicked out, he falls, but he takes with him those third of the angels of heaven. Did you know that's where hell was created for? The devil and his angels? Hell was never created for a human being to go there. Hell was never created for a human being to go there. You got to choose to go to hell. Woof. And with some of people are dumb enough to choose it. They got to work hard to do it. Yes. Yeah. That's how much love God has for us. Satan's sin. Here it is, same major sin today, rebellion against God, rebellion against God, rejection of God's word, rejection of God's love. Isaiah 14, verses 12 through 15. How you have fallen from heaven, O morning star, son of the dawn. You have been cast down to the earth. Now listen. You who once laid low the nations, this could be speaking or talking about Tyre also, a king or kingdom and all of this. Don't get confused with all that. We're focusing on who, this is who Satan is. Whether it goes into the heart of a leader and does this or not, it's still Satan. Okay? You said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. Cocky, isn't he? I will sit enthroned on the Mount of Assembly, on the utmost heights of the sacred mountain. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. And that's pretty close to blasphemy, is it not? Yes. But you are brought down to the grave, to the depths of the pit. Man, one sentence knocked him out on that one, didn't it? I will. You know who they call Satan? What he was called as Satan was called the angel with eye trouble. I will do this. I will do that. We got a lot of Christians with eye trouble. I will do this. A lot of people. Satan's original state was this. It wasn't Kentucky. No. His original state wasn't Kentucky. Anyway, he was a cherub or an archangel. Cherub and an archangel. Ezekiel 28:14-15. You were anointed as a guardian cherub, for so I ordained you. You were on the holy mount of God. You walked among the fiery stones. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created till wickedness was found in you. Now, Brother Randy believes, and we discuss these type of things, believes that this is the origin of sin. A cherub and an archangel are the same thing.
Oh, archangel.
Yes. Okay. The cherubs and archangels are the same. You'll hear them referred to as archangel or cherub. The Bible only reveals the names of three of these archangels. And here they are at the bottom. Michael the archangel, Gabriel, and Lucifer. They're the only three we know, but they're not the only three. We don't know how many there are. We don't know how many archangels are around the throne of God, worshiping at all times. Now, I've done this to lay this groundwork for us. When we talk about Satan and in heaven, the Scripture tells us, first of all, the Scripture does not tell us or speak of a seventh heaven. There's no place in Scripture where you will find seventh heaven. Where you see the term seventh or seven represented, that simply means the perfect will of God. But you will not find in Scripture seventh heaven. Now, Hindus see it. Islam and their Bible has a seventh heaven. Buddhist may have, I'm not sure. But anyway, there is no place in Scripture that says seventh heaven. But we are taught in Scripture there are three heavens. Three heavens. It is scriptural. That's what I want us to look at. When we're talking about is Satan still in heaven, he's not in the heaven where God is. Let's look. First heaven is the sky or the atmosphere. Genesis 1:6-8. And God said, let there be an expanse between the waters to separate water from water. So God made the expanse and separated the water under the expanse from the water above it, and it was so. God called the expanse sky. And there was evening, and there was morning the second day. So the second day, God separates, and we have the sky, what we see in our atmosphere, the place where the birds fly, place where the airplanes go. This the inner space that we have. That's called the first heaven. Then the second heaven is outer space. As soon as you break loose from the gravitational pull or break loose into the next space area, that is the outer space or the outer heaven. And God said, Genesis 1, 14 through 18. And God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the sky, beyond the sky. You got it? In the expanse of the sky, beyond the sky. Let there, to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark seasons and days and years, and let them be lights in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth. And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day, the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. And he named every one of them. Yeah, he was saying they estimated 70 trillion stars. And God named them all, and he said, I have four grandchildren, and I can't keep up with their names. God set them in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth, the outer heaven. Ephesians 2, 1 and 2. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. So Satan's abode is in, certainly we know, the first heaven and the second heaven. This is where Satan lives. First heaven, second heaven. Ephesians 6, 12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the power. These are angels. Let me get that straight for you. The rulers and the authorities are angels in these areas. Against the powers of this dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Okay, heaven 1, heaven 2, the atmosphere and the space, outer space, inner heaven, outer heaven, and then God's heaven. Okay, now Satan is enjoying his stay and going throughout both of those heavens. The big question has been, but is he in the presence of God where he accuses man? Satan does accuse man day and night. When you die, when you leave this body, Jesus says that we will be in paradise with him right then. Paradise with him right then. Remember him saying that to the thief on the cross? Surely today you will be with me in paradise. You're going to be with me in paradise. Now, here's a question for you. Do you really believe that in the paradise of God, or of God's home, it's the third heaven, the spiritual home of God, or paradise, it's where it is, that there could be anything evil in God's presence in heaven? It's impossible. Can't happen. Evil cannot enter. Evil is not going to be in paradise, folks. It will not be paradise. Do you have a question?
Atmosphere in the outer space besides the devil. Who else is out there? It's not a place that you go. You say, who's there?
Well, it's the realm of the spiritual realm of Satan. We do know that. That's correct. Don't know. And whether we've got other worlds with people on it. Is that what you mean?
No. I just wanted to know about outer space. I just didn't picture.
Yeah. That is the abode of Satan. What do we talk about spiritual warfare? Where do we think that goes on? Why would God have to send angels to escort us through these two heavens, heaven 1 and 2? We're escorted into the presence of God.
I guess I'm thinking, too, that... The devil is on everywhere on the earth. So
yes.
I can picture him having time to go to outer space. He's rambling on earth.
Maybe that's where he's vacationing. Just kidding. But no, and that's correct. He's on earth. He's the God of this world. He's on earth. And he can expand into the first and the second heaven, into inner space and outer space. Heaven 1, heaven 2. But he is there, and what does he do there? I don't have any idea. But it's obvious that the wars are fought there. The spiritual warfare that is going on is done there. And it's cast down. He hadn't been cast down to the earth yet. Actually, it's still going on. That hadn't ended. That's still... See, that's where we forget in our studies. We think that, you know, that sounds just a little bit science fiction. Folks, salvation sounds a little bit science fiction. Resurrection from the dead don't sound exactly stable. You know, it's a little science fiction. Eternal life in heaven and paradise, just a little far out there for normal people to understand. That's why it's by faith. That's why your whole relationship with Christ is by faith. God has set up for us and for our enjoyment heaven. Everything that's been done, do you know he's done this for us? That's how much he loves us. But he set time schedules on all of this. Until my time comes, until it's time for me to do this, this is what's going to happen. And everything is going to keep going as it's going until it stops. But God says, I've set this time. I've set space. I've set the limits on all that there is. I put limits on them. You can't change those limits. I have set the limits on. I don't understand the spiritual warfare, but I believe the Bible when it says it's going on. I believe the fighting that is going on here. Revelation is telling us in the end time, in the tribulation period, that the great battle is coming. I believe that. But I cannot picture that in my human mind. I just can't. Okay, let's listen to what Paul says here. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12, 2 and 4. Now, you're going to catch real quick here why he's doing it this way, speaking in third person. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. He's talking about himself. But now, if you're going to be talking with somebody and you know that they may try to mock you in what you're getting ready to say, go ahead and use third person. Go ahead. I remember talking to this person that this happened to. You got to get a reading on the people you're telling this to. That's what Paul's doing. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up to paradise. He heard inexpressible things, things that man is not permitted to tell. Okay. Are we not there with John the Revelator? That John was told to seal it up, do not tell this. Paul is in the same place where John is now in Revelation. Paul was there seeing the same thing. And what did Paul say? I can't say what I saw. I cannot express it. There are no words to tell it. He was in the abode of God. He was in paradise. He was in where God lives. God's house, our house is there where God lives. When we go there, nothing can touch us. Nothing. There will be no Satan there accusing or any of that. Can't happen. He's with Christ. I'm with Christ. You and I, when we leave this body, we're there. Easiest thing said on that is, before your body hits the ground, we're there. First, second, third heaven. It is scriptural. Can you explain it? Paul couldn't. And he was standing there looking. He was in heaven looking. He can't. But the scripture says this is where they are. So when people are saying, can he bring a railing accusation against you? He will accuse you throughout earth and in the two heavens, but no, he ain't getting through the pearly gates. It ain't going to happen. I get to go through there. Christian, you get to go through there. Escorted all the way. Woo! I like escorts. I like to be escorted. You talk about a fancy ride, Miss Jean. Yeah, I'm just waiting for my ride, people. For those of you who don't have a church home, you come see us, 408 West Main Street in Vine Grove. God bless you, and have a great evening.